Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. In the first segment, we were talking about critical thinking and understanding the big issues, understanding the potential outcomes.
Correct.
We've got a terrific guest to help us understand what some of those key issues are today. That's Benjamin Tall. He's a deputy chief economist at CIBC. Benny, thanks. Welcome back to the show, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. A pleasure.
Okay, so we've got lots of people that are concerned about a myriad of headline risk that they see out there today. Maybe you could just give us your thoughts on the big issues that you've got your eye on right now.
Yes, of course, you cannot talk about the market, you cannot talk about the economy without talking about the virus and the trajectory of the virus. So I'm really focusing my attention on what's reasonable to expect now. We have basically three models, if you wish. One is countries that continue the first wave or deep into the second wave. That's basically the U.S., Spain, and some emerging markets. The second model, if you wish, is very early stages of a second wave. That's Canada and most of Europe. And the third one, which is the most interesting one, is late second cycle or second wave, and that's Australia, Japan, South Korea, because we can learn a lot from what they are going through. And what we have seen in the case of Australia, or South Korea, Japan, is that you can really bring this second wave down dramatically in terms of the infection rate without closing down the economy dramatically. So if we can implement what Australia is doing now, we can basically continue to function at a reasonable rate while defeating the virus until we get the vaccine. So that's more or less where we are now. Now, let's face it, all of us know that the summer was the honeymoon period. This was a break, if you wish, and now it's back to reality. So I suspect that after a 40% GDP growth in the second quarter, in the third quarter, we are going to get a relatively muted winter, and we know the story. We will have a second wave. We will have the flu season overlapping with the virus. So we will have a lot of confusion between now and a vaccine, which I don't see until the spring, May, June. So we have a long period of time that we still have to live with this virus and some softening in economic activity over the next 6 months or so. That's the way I look at the situation from a virus perspective.
Okay. I mean, that's obviously the biggest one on their mind, and it's uncertain as to the path, but I think that, you know, those models outline the uncertainty in the different stages for different countries.
Yeah. And Benny, do you see the governments provincially and federally in this country following similar models to South Korea, Australia, and Japan? Or are we looking at, because the fear out there is another shutdown, a complete shutdown of the entire economy?
Yes. You know what? We have learned a lot over the past few months. We know more or less how to live with this virus. We understand the importance of wearing masks and all this business. So I think if you look at Australia, South Korea, Japan, they were basically able to reduce the infection rate dramatically in the second wave while cutting activity by only 30 or 40% relative to what we have seen in March and April, which means that we can do that. We can do that. The issue, of course, is not just opening up. The issue is the fear factor. I think that during the summer days, the fear factor was not dominating. The opening up factor was more available and therefore, you know, contributed to economic growth. I think that the fear factor will take over. So despite the fact that the restaurant will be available and open, people will not go there. And we will see it more and more in the fourth quarter and the first quarter of next year. So slowly, the fear factor will be more dominating as opposed to what we have seen in the early stages of this recovery, where the economy is opening up and GDP growth is at 40% on an annual basis.
Benny, can we afford to shut the economy down again? Is that actually is that a path we could follow?
Well, we see some countries that are now doing it to an extent, including schools and so far. I don't know. I think we cannot do that, and I don't think there is a need to do so, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. I think that overall, the situation suggests that we can function with this virus if we do it in a reasonable way. Other countries went from one extreme to another. When they shut down, and when they open up, they open up. So far, it seems that Canada is moving in the right way, and therefore I suggest that we will be able to maintain a reasonable level of economic activity, namely a 2, 3, 4% GDP growth, without shutting down the economy and without seeing a significant spike in the infection rate. I think it's doable, quite frankly.
On that particular note, then, is there more support that is required from governments and central banks in order to maintain that growth rate, or have we seen the end of that?
I think we need the same support for longer. That's, I think, what we're going to see. I think that, as you know, the Bank of Canada and the Fed, they are everywhere. They are in the repo market. They are in the BA market. They are, of course, in corporate debt, provincial debt, and, of course, government debt. They might scale down quantitative easing from $5 billion a week to $3 billion a week because, let's face it, the Bank of Canada is now controlling 32% of the bond market. 32%. At this rate, by the end of 2021, they will have 50% of the market. That's not very healthy.
Right.
To compare, the Fed owns only 21% of the market. So we are more than the Fed. So therefore, they will scale it down. But clearly, government support is needed. The Bank of Canada will be there. Interest rates will remain low. I don't think that interest rates will be rising until 2023. Mm-hmm. And clearly, fiscal policy will be there with the CRB replacing CERB, wage subsidies becoming more relevant. So I think, yes, it can be done. Not to add to it, but keep it longer.
Right.
Benny, we have about a minute left before we have to go to commercial break. Do you still see more fiscal stimulus? Do you see more CERB, more other kind of emergency programs out there, but maybe phasing out? Like, what does the model look like from your perspective?
I think that the CRB will replace CERB, of course, and that's a good program because it's more inviting in terms of the propensity to go back to work because it's structured differently. And I think that's a very good way to proceed. I think that wage subsidies will become a bit more relevant and they will be utilized a bit more. That's another positive. And then we have to remember, 2/3 of the economy are in already a V-shaped recovery. Mm. 1/3 is stuck in this L-shaped recovery, and they will continue to remain at this kind of level of activity. We will not see a recovery there. So therefore, from this point forward, the government should be much more pointed, focused on the assistance to make sure that the people who need it get it.
Okay.
Can we go to commercial break a little bit?
Yeah, early? I've got lots of questions left.
We've got to talk about how taxes are going up because of all this.
Yep. And universal basic income and, well, let's remind everybody about our upcoming seminar.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's a big headline risk that I want to talk about in just a second, and we'll address it in the next section.
So we are going to address this and other issues that come up when you're transitioning to or living in retirement. If you want to join us for our webinar, it's on Tuesday, September 22nd, 7 p.m. live online. You need to go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Is your retirement in Canada at risk because of the outcome of the presidential election in November? So let's talk about a Biden versus Trump win after the break here on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.